Today marks the 200th anniversary of the publication of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, one of the most famous novels in English. Book critic Maureen Corrigan joins with multitudes who say attention must be paid.
My favorite item from the growing mountain of Pride and Prejudice bicentennial trivia comes courtesy of an article in something called Regency World magazine, which is going gaga over the anniversary. The article, headlined Albert Goes Ape for Austen, describes how a 200-pound orangutan named Albert, living in the Gdansk Zoo in Poland, insists on having 50 pages a night of Pride and Prejudice read to him at bedtime by his keeper, or else he refuses to go to sleep. What does Albert the orangutan hear in Pride and Prejudice, I wonder? Maybe the same thing my students hear when I teach survey courses on the evolution of the novel. We start our voyage out with Robinson Crusoe and often go on to Samuel Richardson's Pamela and Lawrence Stern's Tristram Shandy, fine, weird novels that seem to hail from a civilization a million light years from our own. Then we arrive home on planet Austen. The relief in the classroom is palpable. The energy of class discussion spikes. It's certainly not that my students mistake Austen's world for our own. After all, her novels revolve around the make-or-break perils of a highly ritualized marriage market. Rather, it's Austen's smart girl voice, peppery, wry, eye-rolling, that seems so close to modern consciousness. Austen could be gal pals with Tina Fey and Lena Dunham. She talks to us directly, bridging time and custom. Pride and Prejudice, Austen's most widely read novel, was first published on January 28, 1813, 200 years ago today, and has since generated musicals and computer games, operas and anime, Masterpiece Theater costume dramas, and Bollywood movies. It's been updated and reimagined as mystery fiction, sci-fi, X-rated erotica, and vampire gore. We readers clearly want Austen's voice to go on and on, a voice that was silenced when she died at the age of 41 in 1817. Though I could happily watch Bridget Jones's Diary for eternity, I mostly think the best way to revisit Austen and learn something new is through the art of criticism. Out of the slew of critical books that have been spawned by this Pride and Prejudice bicentennial, one that particularly caught my eye is called The Real Jane Austen by Paula Byrne. Byrne has previously written about Austen and the theater. Here, she takes a clever approach to scrutinizing the few facts that we know about Austen's life. Byrne reads Austen's life through key objects, many of which would have surrounded her in her parlor and bedroom. There are familiar relics like the three vellum notebooks in which a juvenile Austen penned poems and stories, as well as the pair of gorgeous topaz crosses that Austen's sailor brother Charles bought for Jane and her sister Cassandra. Then there are more exotic tokens. An East Indian shawl belonged to Austen's Aunt Philadelphia, who sailed to India with other single girls in search of husbands. They were part of what was then derisively called the fishing fleet. Byrne's aim is to show how these objects, many of them reproduced in her book in lush color plates, reveal a much more cosmopolitan awareness of the world than is commonly credited to Austen. Byrne also throws in a wild card, a small Regency-era portrait sketch of a slim middle-aged woman, cap on head, pen in hand. The portrait's provenance is unknown. On its back, someone wrote, Miss Jane Austen, spelling the last name with an I, as Austen herself did on her 1816 royalty check for her novel Emma. If this is indeed an authentic portrait of Austen, she looks like you might want her to look, staring off into the distance, faintly smiling. Perhaps getting a kick out of a vision of the great fuss futurity would make of the creatures of her imagination.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. You can read an excerpt of Paula Byrne's book, The Real Jane Austen, on our website, freshair.npr.org, where you can also download podcasts of the show. You can follow us on Twitter at NPR Fresh Air and on Tumblr at nprfreshair.tumblr.com. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Myers, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, and Teresa Madden. For Terry Gross, I'm Dave Davies.